Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Astronomy Tower Hour. Please welcome your hosts, Liam, Jen, and Bridget.
Hello, everyone. So far, we're going to do an Order of the Phoenix show today, talking all about the movie. And right now, all you guys got is me, because for some odd reason, my hosts are having trouble in the flu network or apparating here right now. So what we're going to be talking about is the new Harry Potter Order of the Phoenix film that just came out Wednesday. I was lucky enough to have the rest of the ATH staff come to the midnight showing on Tuesday night to go and see it. Bridget and I actually got to the movie theater at about noon and waited in line for about 12 hours. So that was kind of interesting, but we were able to do a little bit of Harry Potter-related things. I dressed up. Bridget wore her Who Will Die July 21st, 2007 Deathly Hallows little tribute there. But it was really fun. I really enjoy doing those kind of little shows and waiting for the midnight showing. And we also saw a lot of other people that were dressed up, which was kind of fun. Everybody had a cape on or had a little wand or some kind of Harry Potter tribute. And it's really fun to go to those things and see all the other people and the other fans, you know, because then you really feel like you're a part of the Harry Potter community. And it was really fun. So now, getting on to the actual film, I have to say right off the bat that I think this is the best of the Harry Potter series. I can't congratulate the director, writers enough. It was just fantastic. From the start to finish, I was never bored. I was always hooked. I was watching. I was feeling the emotion in the movie, and I thought it was just awesome. Even the music done by Nicholas Hooper, you just got into it. You could feel everything, every scene in the music kind of popped out at you. And it was really nice. I was really glad to see it on the big screen. This also being Order of the Phoenix is my favorite book. So I was really happy to see a wonderful rendition of it done well. It kind of makes me excited to see what Half-Blood Prince is going to be like, because I enjoyed this one so much that I can't wait to see what he's going to do with the sixth one, especially with all the dramatic sequences that are going to be in there and the fight scenes and everything. I really look forward to that. One of the key points I wanted to talk about the fifth movie was that, as far as this being, I think this is the best of the series, but I really liked how it had something for everyone, also book fans, but also those who had not read the books and were just going for, you know, fans of the movies. It was really nice to kind of see that, because they added little touches here and there that you were able to pick out if you'd read the books. But also, if you hadn't read them, you were able to stay within the gist of what was going on. And I really enjoyed that. I thought that was really clever on their part, too, because, you know, I've heard a lot of fans of the book that have said, you know, we really don't like the movies because they're nothing like the book, and, you know, they don't even try anymore. And I just thought this was kind of a backlash on them, saying, hey, you know what, we actually do. We're looking out for you book fans now. So that was really exciting to see that. I was really happy to see Neville holding his little Mimbletona. That's a tongue twister. But I was really happy to see that. That was great. And Luna, wonderful job with her little Quibbler upside down. That was great. And that's also what I want to talk about, is the performances of the actors and actresses in this movie. They were just top-notch. I honestly, you can't, you know, this was so much better. And I'm sure anybody who's heard me before, I really was not a fan of the Goblet of Fire movies. I don't know why. I tried to explain, and people just kind of shake their head and go, oh, okay, you can't really back it up. And I just don't know why. I guess it's just not a satisfying movie to me. So, you know, I kind of went in there, and I was crossing my fingers. I'm hoping. I'm like, please do not let this be, you know, another Goblet of Fire thing for me, because half the time I can't even watch Goblet of Fire because I get bored, you know. I don't have an interest in it as much like the other three where I can just sit there and watch them over and over and over and never get tired of it. But the fourth one I usually skip completely because it bores me to death, which is not how a Harry Potter movie should be. It should be where it hooks you and you're into it the entire time. So, like I said, the performances, Daniel Radcliffe as Harry Potter is just awesome. You know, I really was, you know, kind of getting a little miffed on this because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Daniel Radcliffe. I think he's an excellent actor, and I think he portrays Harry very well. But some of the things he did in the last movies, I kind of was, you know, what's he going to do? Is he going to be able to pull off this kind of angsty Harry who's torn? And so I was really kind of holding my breath for that, and he really came through. And I think it really is in the first 10 minutes, you're like, okay, this is a new Daniel Radcliffe we're seeing, and he just does a fantastic job. I was really happy with his performance. And also Rupert Grint as Ron, I wanted to hug whoever wrote his part for the movie because, you know, in the last, all the movies before, they always have Ron as like the comedy, you know, the comic relief. That's what he does. And he doesn't really seem like he would be the Ron that we read in the books, the strong sidekick with Harry. And it's really, you know, it was sad seeing that in the movie because they were downplaying Ron's character so bad, you know, and it's like, no, Ron is a much stronger character than what they're portraying him as. And so in the fifth movie, you really see Rupert Grint, you know, pushing through for the Ron Weasley character, and he does a really good job. I was really happy with that. You know, as soon as he comes and he stands up against Seamus for, he's siding with Harry going, yes, I believe that Harry has seen Voldemort. That was just, oh, I was so happy. I wanted to scream. It was great. I was like, yes, finally, we have a strong Ron character. It was so fun. And Emma Watson, I thought, did really well, too. Although, you know, her one line that she has where it's like, it's kind of exciting, you know, breaking the rules. I don't think people who have seen the movies and not read the books would understand that because, you know, seeing in the movies, she is breaking the rules all the time right alongside Ron and Harry. But in the book, she's a real stickler to, you know, we shouldn't be doing this and such. And so that line is kind of funny for book fans. But then again, I mean, that's not for everyone. I'm sure other people got it as well or knew that the Hermione character was more of a stickler for the rules. But I thought her performance was done really well, too. It was really nice. And now for as far as the older, the adult actors and actresses, I was just, they were on top of their game in this movie. I thought they did such a fantastic job. I couldn't stop just wanting to clap the whole time. Jason Isaacs doing Lucius Malfoy, not only is he my favorite book character, but I mean, Jason does him to a T. He is like so malicious and you want to hit him, but he's so awesome at the same time. You just, it's wonderful how it happens. He does a very good job, even though he's in there for just a little bit screen time. He does so well as Lucius. And, you know, finally get to see the Death Eaters in action, and that's really nice, too. So he really pulls off the whole Death Eater villain type of look. And then Helena Bonham Carter as Bellatrix Lestrange, and she has even shorter screen time than Jason does, but she, oh, what creepiness. It's great. I honestly can't stop just, you know, their acting was so good in this. I just couldn't believe it. I'm the last of words because I thought this was such a good movie. And I really wasn't expecting it to be, you know, because these past summer movies, I'd kind of been let down so far with all the summer blockbusters that were supposed to be. And I was like, okay, I have been disappointed a lot lately. And I was like, the Harry Potter series is just going to be another one of those, you know, to put on the shelf. And then I went in and I saw it and I was like, okay, now we're getting into a different league altogether. And it was really exciting to see that. I was just very happy. The movie was just great, and whoever who hasn't seen it, I definitely recommend it. And if you have an IMAX theater close by, I've heard that those last 20 minutes in the Ministry of Magic are just insanely awesome. So definitely go and see those. Wow. I feel so alone on here just talking about Harry Potter by myself. But I guess it's a good learning thing because I am a late bloomer, you would say, into the Harry Potter series. We can actually thank Bridget for getting me into them because everybody was always talking about the Harry Potter books, and Jennifer had wanted me to write a fan fiction story for her concerning the Harry Potter series, and I'd never read them. And she was trying to explain them to me, and I was like, okay, Voldemort's the bad guy, right, Harry's the little kid who's got to stop him, right. It never clicked, and finally Bridget's like, you know what, you need to read these books. And so in March of 2005, during spring break, Bridget gave me 1 through 5 to read, and as soon as I started, I could not stop. Instantly, I became a fan. I was into the story, and, you know, I mean, I know I'm a late bloomer as far as that goes. So I'm getting there. I'm building my Harry Potter love pretty high. I kind of just like dove into the whole Harry Potter fandom, but it's been really fun. I enjoy the Harry Potter series as a whole, and I actually came in kind of even through the movies more than I did the books because I had seen Prisoner of Azkaban in the theaters, and I thought, wow, this is kind of different. It's cool. But I had never known the story, so I was just, you know, one of those people that was in there watching the movie, and I really enjoyed it. And so I was like, okay, so that helped to get me into the series. And then Half-Blood Prince came out the summer right after I'd read the books, and so I was completely into it, and I was really happy about it. It was just great. Harry Potter fans, definitely, they have a good story to love. It's definitely, J.K. Rowling is a very special person, and she knows how to really write a good suspenseful novel that people can fall in love with, that has beautiful morale and hidden, you know, little things to look for, to read between the lines. And I love the things that you can find out in her story as you go along, and they're good things, you know, to live by, friendship and love, and knowing that that is really what brings you through, that's, it's wonderful. So back onto the movie. I know I did my little Harry Potter run there. Back onto the movie. Definitely go see it. It's much darker than the rest of the films. I think it is the darkest film. But rather than, well, this is also my argument for why I don't really care for Goblet of Fire, is Goblet of Fire, I feel, focused more on the being more of a teenager, like the emotions and all that. And that's what I don't really care for. I don't know. See, I can't explain it. I wish I could, but I'm not really into that, you know, wanting to go through the whole teenage thing again, because I just got out of those years, and I don't know about anybody else, but those were not the best years of my life. So, you know, I don't want to go and have to go through this whole teenage journey all over again. So I didn't really like that they focused more on Harry being a teenager and all this and not on the story, which is, I feel, is a complete 180 in the fifth movie, where it focuses a lot on the plot. And, you know, you're going along the story, and you still have that character development coming along, but it's more parallel. It's not, you know, over-demanding over the story to where you're more, you know, focusing on that than you are the story, which I feel is what's important. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Harry Potter. I think, you know, and I can understand his trials and stuff, but I love the story. That's what got me into it. So that's what I want to, you know, see when I go to the movies, is I want to see the story unfolding on the screen. I think that's much better, you know, to see rather than an angsty teenager. It's having to deal with dancing and girls, although that is apparent in the fifth movie as well, but not as much as Goblet of Fire. Wow. I am so impressed with Order of the Phoenix. So if any of you want to call in and give your reviews or if I'm hoping that somebody, well, not hoping because I thought it was a good movie, but if anybody didn't really care for Order of the Phoenix and you want to let me know and let me know what you didn't like about it, just feel free to call in at 718-508-9753 and talk to me about it and let me know what you think of Order of the Phoenix. Maybe you can let me know what one you liked better and such like that. And just talk about Harry Potter with me. Since I'm going off on solo here, it's kind of interesting. I would really like to get somebody else's input and find out what they think about the Harry Potter series as a whole. And also, maybe even talk about what their plans are for the end of the week with Deathly Hallows on its way. I think that would be kind of exciting. So we'll get back onto the movie here. And I got a newspaper clipping the other day when Harry Potter first came out on Wednesday. And it was going through and reviewing the fifth movie, saying what was, you know, high points for moviegoers and also for book fans of the Harry Potter series. And I felt it was kind of interesting, the little points that they brought up that even as a book fan, I hadn't really noticed, which, yeah, makes you feel wonderful. But the girl that plays Luna, Ivana Lynch, did such a good job. You know, everybody who was sitting around me watching her on the screen was like, she is so weird, you know, and I'm like, well, that's how she's supposed to be because they call her Loony Lovegood. So I'm like, she did such a good job. That girl knows how to pull off the Luna look. She was great. Some of the high points they did for book fans that maybe even a book fan might have just kind of skipped over and wasn't really paying attention to, or a movie fan didn't understand, as one thing I said was the Mimbulus Mimbletonia that Neville was carrying when they came off the train. I thought that was really cute because Neville is into herbology and he has that. I thought that was a cute little hidden thing to put in there for book fans to smile about. I know I did. I thought it was pretty cute. They had Tonks in there as part of the Order. She's in there for only a moment, but I think she's just awesome when she's on the screen. And although, you know, they don't really explain that, I mean, you know, you have Mad-Eye Moody calling her Nymphadora, but I have a friend that has only watched the movies, hasn't read the books, and was kind of like, well, who is that? You know, didn't really understand who it was. So I explained to them it was Tonks, and I thought she did pretty good with her little clumsiness that she's supposed to have, and the hair changing, that was great. Another key point was when they show Remus Lupin and he has the scars, you know, I thought it was still from, you know, being a werewolf. I had forgotten the fact that he was now in the place of werewolves and that he was, you know, being undercover and a spy within them. And that pointed it out in the newspaper clipping, and I had remembered. I was like, oh, okay, I remember now that Lupin was supposed to be infiltrating the werewolves. And so that kind of brought it in. I was like, okay, so the second time I went to go see Order of the Phoenix, I realized, you know, that was what was going on, and I thought that was pretty cool. Also, they have the Black family tree that Sirius and Harry are actually within this room, and the tree is actually all over the wall, and it has pictures of the actual, you know, members of the family on it. And I thought that was really cool. You know, it had all the ones that had been burned off. Sirius had been burned off and a few others, and Tonks had been burned off. I thought it was really cool because they show a little, before they even introduce Bellatrix at all, you see a picture of her on the family tree. And I just thought that was a cool little thing to add in there, and especially how they worked it. How they did it all together, I thought that was really cool. And how they managed to put it all over the wall, I thought that was awesome. And I have a call coming in. It's probably one of my hosts that's running late. But, hey, what happened?
We started here late. We were
doing magic.
Yeah, you're doing the tarot cards.
Yeah, I've been all by myself for 20 minutes, guys.
That was it.
Sorry, Lane. I thought Jim was on tonight.
Nobody's called, so it's just been me talking about Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix by myself. So, we now have our second host, Bridget's on here with us now. I was just talking about the little things in Order of the Phoenix that they threw in there for book fans to like. I actually have a newspaper clipping that has a list of stuff that the director kind of snuck in there, so whoever had read the books kind of would enjoy it. And so I just went over that they had the Black Family Tree on there, and I thought it was kind of cool how they had done that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just explained how, you know, before they even introduced Bellatrix, that they had a picture of her on there and that they had Sirius burned off.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, I just thought it was cool how it was set up, you know, how they have the family tree, it's like all over the wall, and that the family branches are everywhere. I just think that was really cool.
Yeah, that made it seem like it was wallpaper.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat.
Yeah, but they should have showed when they were taking off the all the little antiques out of that drawer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have another call coming in. Is it our other host coming in?
Yeah.
I'm a host now?
Hello, other host.
It's Katrina.
Hi, Katrina.
Yeah.
I'm a host now?
Yeah, you are. You've been inducted into the ATH host community.
Yay! I'm so excited.
I know everybody's probably so happy now, whoever's listening live. They're like, thank you, Elaine has stopped talking by herself now.
No, you stay on topic.
No, I try anyways. I was kind of losing it. I was like, okay, if nobody shows up, I'm only going to be on here for half an hour. But, yeah. Okay, so now that I did a long and detailed reason of why I liked Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, so you guys can go ahead and whoever wants to start first can say if you did like it and what you did like about it. You can go.
That'll be me.
Oh, okay. Whoever wants to go first.
Samantha is going to speak.
That's Katrina / Courtney.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Last night. Anyway.
Sorry.
I liked the fifth one a lot. Like, I thought it was one of the best ones, apart from, like, the very first one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, that was a long book. So they couldn't put everything in there. You know, and I've had people complain to me, you know, it's the longest book yet. It's the shortest movie. And if they would have put other stuff in there, they would have went over their time limit. And then people would have been confused because the other directors withheld so much in, like, the third and the fourth book, or in the third and the fourth movie, that you couldn't...
No, I can't listen to it because you go, like, 2 seconds later than you are.
That was nice. In the third and the fourth movie, that you wouldn't be able to, the people who've never seen the movie wouldn't be able to understand. Like, the lady in front of us when we went and seen it, she never read any of the books or seen any of the movies.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a shocker.
I was like, what
in the world? I hope you're not completely lost when you're on here.
You know, and the kid that was trying to tell her the story of it, never read the books, just in the movies, was still confused. So... in the end, I overheard her, and she actually figured out the whole storyline with how much information was given in the fifth book.
Cool.
And I just thought that was good, and I liked how they made Sirius more present and more important in it.
Yeah,
and I liked
they would do that, too.
Yeah. Just because they withheld him so much in the third and the fourth.
Yeah.
Especially the fourth, because that was when he was really important.
Yeah, that was... Yeah. Please don't get me started on Goblet of Fire. They've already heard me rant on here for the past 10 minutes on that one, so...
Well, see, my part was the whole Sirius Black thing when he dies, well, falls into the curtains. She used that spell. She wasn't supposed to use that one. She was supposed to use a purple one. It wasn't supposed to be a Vanna Cabana. It was supposed to be the purple spell.
Well, see, what I thought in the book was it was never an identified spell. It was just a spell. Nobody knew what one he'd gotten hit with. And I was like, and then they AK'd him right there. And I was like, oh, okay, well, now we know he got AK'd.
Well, they'll probably regret it later, I bet you anything, when the book comes out.
Yeah. But although, you know, now that you brought that part up, that was the only part I even had a thought about, you know, that kind of bothered me. And only because those who hadn't read the book, the veil was never explained in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden they drop on the, you know, the floor, and they see this giant, like, arch thing sitting there, and they hear voices, and that's it. Like, that's all you know. If you haven't read the books, you're like, okay, that's
well, and
cool.
And I didn't like the death scene either. Like, to
me, I thought it was too short.
It made it way more dramatic, and he, you know, just in the book, there was more to it than just him floating away, you know?
Yeah.
So I think they could have done more, at least with that part.
Yeah, and that's really the only part that I have a problem with, is that, because I'm like, okay, because, you know, in the book, I'm pretty sure we all, you know, done it, but when I was reading the book, I was like screaming, no, serious, you know, mm-hmm. And then in the movie, I didn't really feel that at all. I'm like, okay, well, he got hit with the AK and he's floating away. That's what I felt.
Unfortunately, you can't love Sirius, you know, in that one movie, you know?
Yeah.
Because they had met him so much, you know, in the village and all that places, you know, that you actually, in the books, you actually
go to,
yeah, like, connected to him, and you grow to, like, oh, I love Sirius, you know, he's, like, my favorite character. Well, in the movies, people are like, oh, I think I remember him.
And, correct me if I'm wrong, in the book, when he finds, it gets into Dolores, breaks into her room and goes to a fireplace and sticks his head through it. He's supposed to see someone, talk to them.
When he goes into Umbridge's office, Creature is the one that answers in the fire. And remember, that's how he knows that Sirius isn't at Grimald Place.
Mm-hmm. His vision was real. And
yeah.
Another thing I wish they would have done, I wanted to see Sirius's mom. Like, I think they could have shown her picture.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she was, from what I've read, that she was in there. It's who Creature was talking to behind the curtain when he's sitting
picture.
There mumbling to himself. He's talking to her portrait, but they just didn't make the portrait, you know, prominent.
They,
I was like, okay, well, nobody would know that unless they'd read, you know, the article that I read.
Because you think she was still alive.
Yeah.
When I saw Creature, I expected something completely different.
He kind of creeped me out.
Yeah, he was somewhat creepy, but he was like, the little drawing they have for it, it seemed like he was a hunchback. House off, more beaten down, and just with a loincloth.
Mm-hmm.
Not he resembled more Dobby, whatever his name is, than he did Creature in my mind. That's what I was imagining the movie.
Well, but then again, I mean, I guess he got the point across, though, because he creeped us all out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just didn't like the whole mumbling thing in his little squinty eyes. I was like, okay, he's a little creep there.
One thing I will have to admit, they did a fantastic job with casting that lady for Umbridge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
she
my
did
gosh.
A fantastic job.
Weren't you ready to shoot her at the end?
I wanted to beat the and her little, oh, well, this is my way and this is how it's going to go. I wanted to, like, strangle her.
And her little laugh. I was like, you are going to make me want to tear my eyes out.
They did her laugh. Perfectly. Like, her laugh in the movie was exactly what I pictured it in the book. Like, that annoying, peppy, but I'm evil laugh.
Yeah.
She
I agree with you. She was great. And that's how I wanted her to be, too. I'm like, okay, if they get nothing else right, make Umbridge like you want to just, you know, strangle her to death. And that's how it was.
Now to another thing. Harry's makeout session?
Oh, that was hot.
It was just supposed to be a kiss. Like an awkward kiss.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty awkward.
Oh, come on now. Daniel Radcliffe fangirls are over there swooning in their seats.
They were, like, wanting to tackle her.
No, but
like,
I'm
come
saying,
on.
In the book, it comes off like an awkward peck.
I thought they kissed. What is the village called again? I forget. Lane, help me out. You know what it's called.
What are we...
The village.
What, Hogsmeade?
Yeah, Hogsmeade.
Didn't they kiss there at a coffee shop?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought that's what
I
thought.
Yeah, they did, because, they were getting butter beers, and then she was talking about Cedric. And
yeah. And
well,
Craig
they did,
got
it was
him.
Just in the room of requirement instead, so.
I thought it was kind of good, though. I was, like, jealous.
Oh, yeah. That was funny. My sister, who is a big Daniel Radcliffe fan, she's like, can you tell by the kiss if he's a good kisser? I was like, okay. So she was watching the whole scene. She's like, that's a good kiss. He's a good kisser. I was like, okay, well, whatever.
Yeah, her sister likes Daniel Radcliffe, and her sister's boyfriend likes Emma.
What I liked about that, the whole kissing part, was, now, you have to be an adult to kind of understand this part, was if anybody realized, did you notice while they were kissing, all of a sudden that plant started growing really fast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I thought that was, I think that's why a few of us were kind of giggling and the rest were like, what? What's so funny?
Naughty. That is naughty. That's not Harry Potter. But I thought that part was pretty funny.
It was extremely.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was they could have maybe, well, not maybe, they could have cut that scene a little shorter and had a longer time for Sirius's death, but.
Like, they could have, I would have been fine if they, completely fine if they left out the whole Luna Lovegood losing her shoes and stuff, or if they would have added on to, don't you.
Yeah, but
that.
See, the whole thing with that is they have to, because she's a new character, they kind of have to build up.
But the cat started biting something. But what I was going to say is just, if they would have added on to the, how he ran into, nearly had the snake, and asked about Sirius, can I see him? And they didn't show the mirror, the little thing that talks between James and Sirius, and what Sirius gave to Harry when he started the whole snake thing.
See, but I don't really think the mirrors are that important.
I think they would have been confused. I think they left out the little details. Just because of the prior movies, you cannot add other stuff into it, and everybody's going to be like, what was going on? Because there's people, you know, I talk to, they loved Harry Potter, but they're just not readers. They do not want to read the books.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that sucks for them, because you miss out on a whole bunch of stuff when you read the books. But, you know, you don't want to be watching a movie and then be totally lost because you didn't read the book.
Yeah, so, I agree with that. I think that's right, but... Oh, also, this is... What did you guys think of the twins part when they left?
Oh, my God, I thought that was so funny.
Yeah.
I thought they did a very good job on that.
But they forgot the whole, the forest thing, how they made the little forest up, and then the charm teacher left a little part of it for Fred and George. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. But, I mean, I liked the fireworks and the whole dragon eating Umbridge. That was great.
Yeah, that was good.
I was ready to clap when that happened. I was like, okay. And then I just thought cinematic was so great when all of the decrees came crumbling down the wall. I was like, yes.
Yes.
Great.
I loved it. I loved that part. I thought it was funny. Or who liked the part when Ron got beat by Hermione?
Yeah.
That was awesome. And he's like, I let that happen. But see, that's, I also said this earlier before, I said I was so much happier now with the way they did Ron, because he is like the Ron he's supposed to be. He's not the little wimpy Ron. He's like strong Ron now.
Well, and you know, I think in like maybe the second one and stuff, you know, they actually, I thought they portrayed him pretty good, just because he was kind of a wimp.
Yeah.
Because it was the second one, and in the fourth book, even though, you know, you don't like the movie, I thought he did a pretty good job, because he was being a jerk to Harry.
Oh, well, yeah, I thought that. Finally, but, I mean, as far as when they make him, like, the wimp and he's, like, scared all the time, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, finally, finally he's breaking out of his shell, and I think it's because of all the Voldemort scares and Harry, and he's trying to be strong, just like his best friend. So, you know.
Wasn't Egypt
the first one? No, it was the
Did you just watch?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. They didn't show that one, though.
They showed him the little flyer from him going to it. Yeah. Of Egypt.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I didn't want to say it and then sound stupid.
Okay.
Keep yourself conscious.
Look at Katrina all asking. That's great.
I can edit that part out. Never mind.
Just making sure we're bringing you the most accurate theory we can. We'll secretly ask each other behind the scenes.
Dun, dun, dun.
But yeah, do you guys think this was the best one of the series?
I'm not sure. I really, really liked the first one, but I think so far, I think this one might be my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think this one is my favorite, too. But then again, like, the first one, it's in, like, a level that you can't even get to.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's the first one, you know, and it was so good. Like, that's just, you can't touch.
I think they made this one, and see, I think I made the, I liked the first one so much because it was so close to the book. And
yeah.
I put all the movies, I compare them to the, that director.
I like the director.
I like the director for this movie. I hope he does the rest, the other three.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
What?
He's doing the next one, isn't he?
Yes, and that's what gets me excited because I really liked this one so much, and I'm like, there's even more that happens in the sixth one. Oh, he's gonna do good.
I loved the special effects in this one. They did an outstanding job.
Yeah, Grop looked really good, and so did the centaurs.
I give them snaps.
Yeah. Did a great job. Did Grop look somehow how you thought he'd look?
No. I see him more like a younger kid. Like,
is he even younger than he looked?
Yeah. Like, oh, he portrayed him younger. I meant smaller, like somewhat smaller.
I was like not thinking. I don't know. This doesn't sound weird, but a skinnier face, maybe. I don't know, but they did a very good job. Like his personality is what. They matched what I was thinking of him.
Mhm.
But
yeah, I thought he was cool. I liked the whole bike bell thing. I thought that was
little
cute.
Bell. Ding, ding.
That was good. See, I was hoping we'd get somebody that didn't really care for it, so that they could point out things they didn't like. But I haven't really heard from anybody that they didn't like it. Everybody that I know that has seen it has always said, that was really good.
I didn't like it.
Really?
I've heard, yeah. I had a discussion with my friend the other day about it before she went to go see it, and she had many people actually tell her they didn't like it. It wasn't close, they left out too many things from the book. It wasn't, the way they were acting and stuff, and the way Harry acted wasn't, his attitude wasn't what they wanted because, and one way I will kind of say that too was because he wasn't as much of a jerk as he was supposed to be. I mean, he was supposed to be a jerk in this book. Like, he was supposed to just be so mean that, you know, you almost kind of just like, you know what, forget it. I'd have washed my hands of him when I was reading the book just because, you know. But in this one, he was kind of a baby. I mean, he was mean, but he was like a whiner a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The part where Fred and George pop in saying, Harry, stop the yelling. You know what I'm talking about? Like, first time they appear in there.
And they poof?
Yeah, when they poof. But he wasn't yelling. The actor wasn't yelling. He was kind of quiet, in my opinion. I was just like, I expected him to be yelling, like, how dare you, Paul? And they didn't show the part where he sent Hedwig back to give him more information.
Well, yeah, but then again, I mean, would that have confused someone who hadn't read the books?
Well, I'm pretty sure those actors had to have read the book by now, you know. But I do agree with Bridget on that part when he was yelling. And I think in the beginning of the movie, this is where I do think they could have left it a little bit longer. I mean, how many chapters were there where they were just in Sirius's house before they left for school, and all this anger came out of him because he was left alone for so long without anybody telling him anything, and now he's little by little he's finding stuff, but people are hiding it from him. I mean, they did it a little bit, but not enough to show, like, his true anger, because, like, in that house is when he really does get angry.
Yeah, that's true. Funny thing, I liked the angsty Harry that they did have. Like, it's better than him being a complete, you know, whiner completely. I had thought the whole screaming at Dumbledore was a nice touch, for one.
Yeah, that was good. He did that part when he screamed. That was good. That's what I was expecting.
Yeah. Oh, so that's what I want to say. What did you guys think of new Dumbledore this time?
I hate him.
You still don't like him?
I do not like him.
Well, I'm not saying I like him. I think he's fitting his part more.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I know we don't like Michael Gambon as Dumbledore, but how do you feel he did this one compared to the last two.
That was a new guy, still from three.
Oh, I knew. Oh, I thought she said it was a new guy completely, like a different.
Honestly, I still don't. I don't think he does a good job.
Well, how can you top the original actor? Okay, well,
there could be. Honestly, I think there could have been a better one.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that.
He's too uppity. He's too, you know, bouncy and, you know, I'm gonna do this.
Yeah.
And
he's supposed to be reserved and
very calm. And, like,
yeah.
To me, in some of the parts, like, in the, when he fights Voldemort in the end, you know, to protect Harry,
mm-hmm.
he overdoes it to me. Like, honestly, like, when I see him, I'm like, you're overdoing it. Dumbledore is very calm and, you know, he's, you know, self-assured and stuff, you know, very just laid-back kind of guy, you know, doesn't go all out and swinging his arms all over the place, you know.
Yeah, because in the book it was more he like didn't even use that much effort. He was like whatever,
yeah, he just
you know.
Stood there. And you know, in the movie he was like running around and then like afterwards he was like all out of breath and like oh my god. And come on, if anybody has read the books, Dumbledore's not a weak guy. He's old and he looks very fragile, but he's not a weak guy.
Yeah, that would have. I don't know, I still don't like the Michael Gambon's, like, voice and everything. It's just not, like, a calming, soothing voice to me.
His actions, it's like, his voice is not too bad.
Is this the way he portrays himself?
Yeah, the way, his movements, the way he, you know, he doesn't seem like an all-knowing, powerful wizard. He seems like he's still young, not knowing what he's doing.
Yeah, very true. Hey, at least he didn't run up to Harry and shake him and be like, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire?
Oh, he was, like, rolling on the ground fighting Voldemort.
Hey, man, that's all right. It's better than shaking Harry and yelling at him.
The one part I thought he did do a pretty good job on was with Trelawney, the part when Umbridge was trying to kick her out of the whole entire school.
Yeah.
I thought he did a very good part. I'll give him credit for that. He was very calm and stuff. He did good on that. He didn't, like, run out there. I'm expecting him to run out. You know, like,
well, but then again, he did turn around and go, don't you all have studying to do? And, like, yelled that, and then, like, pissed off. I was like, what the flip?
Dumbledore is not a mean guy, and in the third, fourth, and fifth movies, they portray him as being a jerk.
Yeah,
like,
being very
rough,
strict,
stern
and that's not
guy.
How he was. Yeah. Oh, Dumbledore. So I'm like, dang it. See, I know they're probably not going to change it, but I wish it's probably too late now to change Dumbledore's, but.
There's no point.
We only have to hope for one more movie.
No, two.
Two more movies? For Dumbledore?
Yeah, we got to do Deathly Hallows, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait.
The next movie is six, and we all know what happens in that movie, in that book.
Yeah. All the people who don't like Michael Gambon will be happy that he's dead. You're going to be like, yay, we don't have to deal with that Dumbledore anymore.
Yay! I love Dumbledore in the books, but
not in the movie.
I honestly might clap when that movie when that part happens. Okay, I don't know if we're allowed to discuss this, but who saw the young Snape?
Oh,
he was good. I liked that. I'm like, ooh, he looks nice. And he's so emo. I loved it.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, we like Alec Hopkins. You are awesome. You have fans. He's good.
I was actually, and I know we're totally going off topic here, and you guys are gonna, Bridge is probably gonna hit me. But I think I found my Edward.
Yeah.
I must always mention it because they're my favorite. I think I might have found my Edward.
Oh, who's your Edward?
Yes. My Edward.
Oh, speaking of Twilight and New Moon, did you tell them about the?
Good news?
Good news, Lane?
I haven't yet. I was going to do that at the end, just because I didn't get a confirmation yet from the people, quote-unquote.
Okay.
I mean, we'll still do it at the end, but I didn't get an actual confirmation, so we can't do a short yet, but
okay.
We will. So, yeah. Wait, Katrina, who'd you say your Edward is? Is it that guy?
Alec Hopkins.
Alec Hopkins? Okay. That would be, see, now I need to go and, like, research him and be like, okay, what does he look like?
What's really funny is as we're speaking, I'm looking him up.
Nice.
So
he
I can
have his own little fan
a real
site
big
right
10-4 in a couple of seconds.
That's awesome.
The silence makes me feel like I need to rush.
No, it's cool. I was just going to ask Bridget, what did you think of the Snape's Worst Memory scene?
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
I kind of lost interest. Well, I didn't lose interest. I don't remember it. I was kind of really tired that night.
We told you to sleep in the theater.
Okay, I found him. He's my Edward.
No, I wasn't sleeping during the movie. I think I was looking at you and Katrina to see how everybody was taking in the movie. Because I kept turning around to you because Katrina had this weird look on her face. And I kept, and I was like seeing out of my corner of my eyes. I was like, what is she doing?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, the only problem I had with the Snape's Worst Memory scene is I wanted to see some graying underpants, dang it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Never mind. I liked it. I actually kind of did enjoy it. It's just I wish they would have done it better.
I wanted to see graying underpants Snape.
And then Lily was supposed to come out saying to put him down.
I heard they did film that part where she comes in and defends him. They cut it out of the movie. So maybe
I wonder if hearing motion.
Yeah, hope that it's a deleted scene like on the DVD. That would be cool.
Me too.
You're just gonna pause it and look at him.
Rewind. I'm gonna use my TiVo a lot.
Oh, we have a call coming in right now. So, does anybody want to do the introduction, Bridget? Okay. There you go.
Thanks for calling. It's Astronomy Tower. Who is this? This is Bridget and Katrina and Lynn. Who is this?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Wendy.
What's going on?
How are you?
We were just talking about the Snape's Worst Memory scene from Order of the Phoenix.
Oh, I think they did a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, Katrina has a crush on young Snape now.
Oh, okay, greasy, nasty.
See, the only thing I was complaining about, Wins, was I wanted graying underpants.
That's what I was looking for. Is that terrible? That whole thing, like, okay, what are they going to show as gray panties?
Okay. I was looking for it, too.
You just wanted to have no pants on.
They're like, all right, take off his pants, let's go.
Right, that's what I was looking for.
ATH, we support graying underpants.
That's right, that's right.
We like our Snape with no pants.
Clean podcast.
Yeah.
That's what
we should
tell you right now.
I didn't see it.
Awesome. So, Wins, what's your opinion? What did you think of it, the movie?
I really liked it a lot because I didn't like the book. I thought the book was too dark and too
morbid.
I want to say evil, and I didn't like it because it's so different from all the other books, but I really liked the way that they did the movie.
How they made it, it made it seem like it was lighter.
Yeah, that's why I liked it. It fit in more with everything else, I thought.
So as a whole, you thought it was awesome.
Yes.
What did you think of your Daniel Radcliffe?
It was fantastic.
I heard you liked the kissing part.
I didn't mind it, but I was like, gosh, these poor little children are kissing, and it didn't look like it was comfortable for them to me.
Yeah, but Wendy was putting herself in Cho's spot.
Yeah.
You're going to blow it up, aren't you?
Welcome to ATH. Bridget has...
No, I'm talking to Katrina. She has a picture of him. And it's like a little corner. I'm like, you're going to blow that picture up, aren't you?
Bridget, bad timing, Bridget. So what else, Wins? Anything else you want to...
I have bad timing.
What else do you want to add about it?
I don't have anything else to add about it.
Oh, what did you think of the Dumbledore this time?
I thought it was finally cool that he did something.
Like, yeah, but I mean, what do you think of the actor who played him?
I don't like him. I like the first guy better.
Yeah, he's a weird Dumbledore.
Yeah.
But what Katrina said earlier was that he's fighting with Voldemort, although that scene was really cool, she thought I agree with her on this, that he was kind of looking like he was putting way too much effort into it. Because in the book, it seems to me like he's almost like a Neo with the agents, where he kind of just holds up his hand and he's like, whatever, you know, bring it. And then this one, he's like, she said he was like rolling on the ground with Voldemort, wrestling to win the
alone time with him.
No, Bridget!
That's it.
Same podcast, Bridget.
Well, I have somebody else who would actually like to talk to you guys.
Okay, put him on.
Hold on. Hi, Tim.
Man, yeah, Tim's coming.
Hello?
Hi, Tim.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, so what'd you think of Order of the Phoenix?
The Order of the Phoenix?
Yes.
The movie?
Yes.
No, Tim, the ice cream cone.
Oh, well, the ice cream cone is tasty.
What about a snow cone?
I'm not a big snow cone fan. Anyway, the movie was good. I liked the special effects. But I never read the books, as you guys know. But I thought it was the last two books, or the last
movies.
Two movies. Yeah. They seem to be going a lot farther away from the classroom than I liked. Because one of the things that was cool about it, it wasn't just, you know, typical fantasy. It was in the school setting, and you got to see the kids learning and stuff rather than just, like, running around and doing everything else that you see in every other book. So, but I liked it.
Be prepared.
It was good.
Because the sixth one is going to be estranging more from Hogwarts even more.
Oh.
Yeah. That one's going to not even barely involve Hogwarts at all.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But just wait for the seventh one, Tim.
With Emma Watson and me, so that's cool.
Nice.
Yeah. We started filming it last week.
Clean podcast.
Oh, jeez, Tim. See, Tim, you're going to have so many fans now.
Okay. Wendy,
you have
kicking me.
Emma. Oh, that's too loud.
Anyway.
So, yeah, so you ended up, you did like it?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Do you think it was a lot darker than the rest of them?
Well, the lighting was pretty good.
Tim, you're so...
I know. Jeez.
See, guys, whoever's listening, this is what I have to deal with. Okay,
whatever. You ditch me all the time.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah,
it's called falling asleep.
I can barely
don't pay attention. Time. Don't pay attention to her. She's not paying attention. So.
Okay.
I am still paying attention.
Yeah, see, she'll get louder when she's actually talking towards you, and she'll get softer when she's talking elsewhere.
I'm talking to you guys.
Yeah, actually, I don't think it was any darker than any other ones. Like, the first one, he's, like, sucking blood out of a unicorn.
Oh, yeah, that creepy floating move that he does that I don't like.
Yeah, and the graveyard scene in the one before was much darker than anything I can think of in this movie. Of course, that scene in the place with all the snow globes.
The prophecy room?
Yeah.
I like the snow globes better.
Snow globes?
Sorry, I have to laugh. That's awesome. Okay.
It takes a good director to make a scene with snow globes scary. So.
It's official. The Hall of Prophecies is getting turned into the Room of Snow Globes.
Why can't we just say crystal bows?
Because that's bad.
That's why I want to say crystal bows.
See, Tim, this is what happens at 10, almost 11 o'clock at night.
Crystal balls.
Alrighty.
So anything else, Tim?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, we're glad that you came on for once and you acknowledged that we exist.
You guys don't exist.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys have fun.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. And tell Wendy we say thanks, too.
Give her a hi.
They say thanks for calling. She says not a problem.
Okay.
Yay.
All right.
Okay, well, you
talk
guys can go to bed now. Okay.
All right. Bye.
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 Yay.
Yay.
For everybody that that doesn't know, that's my good buddy Tim, my sister's boyfriend. So he is like that in real life too. He is just as wacky and crazy. What happened? Katrina all went silent. Is that because she found Alec Hopkins' picture?
Alec Hopkins. Yep.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Bridget, but that is so funny, that snow globes. That made me really laugh.
That was really funny.
I'm even going to go on to the soundtrack and change that song because it's called Hall of Prophecies. I'm going to put it in Room of Snow Globes. But see, now every time if I go to see that again, I'm going to think that there should be like a little snowman and little snow trickles in there. Like, it should be a snow globe.
You know, for any of the listeners that are listening, I must say this. My favorite part was actually before the movie, and that was when you and Bridget were singing the Harry Potter song.
Oh, when you took my wand and you were having us sing double trouble from the third one. I got to play the part of the big, giant, fat frog that croaks.
Hey, I had that part, too.
But you actually just were able to get away with going croak. I actually had to croak.
And you did a marvelous job.
Yay. Yay, that's wonderful. I can croak good. Yay. More points
for me.
But I
would like to say that if you guys could ever get a part in the movie, it would not be that.
Ouch.
Yay, you don't get to play the part of the frog. Oh, thanks.
Okay, you can play the part of the frog.
Okay. So, yeah, well, Bridget has been so silent. She didn't even say she liked the movie or not.
Yeah, I liked it, though. I did like it. It's just, I pictured the other movies lighter, not so dark. And then the fifth and the fourth looks to be the darker ones. I like the way he came with it, the direction. I love the way he shot it, his angles and everything with the camera.
Uh-huh.
It's just, I picture this book more darker. And then after Sirius's death, Harry was supposed to be reserved, not talking to anybody. And then
he was like chatting away, man.
Yeah.
Like he lost a pebble or something. I didn't have a comparison.
Wow. It didn't seem like it affected him that much. That just came off.
Well, and unfortunately, that's probably because he, in real life, you know, Daniel Radcliffe probably didn't see the guy who plays Sirius very much because he's not in very many scenes. So, you know, I've seen a lot of movie actors, you know, talk about how while they're acting, they actually, like, become a family. So when they do kill a person off, this, like, it really is real tears because, you know, that person's leaving, that person's gone. Well, you know, probably in real life, they weren't together that much, so the feelings and the emotions that you're supposed to grasp weren't really there.
That's true. See, I felt that there was even more emotion coming from Remus more than Daniel Radcliffe when, you know, Sirius is killed because Remus does that little look, and it was, like, kind of sad. I was like, oh, poor Remus.
Honestly, there was more emotion coming from Hermione and Ron.
Yeah. I thought stepped it up in this one. They did a really good job.
I think what is her name? Emma Watson. She is a very good actress. Like, she plays perfectly with all her emotional parts that you're supposed to get, her angry parts, everything. Just like the last movie with the whole yelling at Ron about asking to take her to the dance.
Yeah.
You know, or this movie, you know, putting everybody in their place. She does an outstanding job. I will give her a step for that.
Yeah, she does pretty good. I really think that everybody stepped it up a notch in this one. I thought it was very nice. Who else? Oh, what did you think of the girl that played Luna?
I loved her.
I thought she was so cute. I'm like, oh, I love
the
movie.
She did the part perfectly.
Yeah.
She did awesome.
She was. She was cute. And I love the little Nargle thing. What's a Nargle? I don't know. And Neville, they made Neville more prominent in this one.
Mm-hmm.
He played a much bigger part, and that was good. I'm glad.
I was very, very bummed in this movie, and I will tell you why.
I know what you're going to say.
Oh, I was complaining about it after the movie. I wanted to see his parents. That may sound kind of bad, but I wanted to see the part when they went to the hospital.
Yeah, to see Mungo.
And then that is when Neville said, you know, can we not bring that up around anybody?
Yeah. But, I mean, hey, at least they did show them all together.
They yeah, like a picture. But
mm-hmm.
I wanted to see them.
You got a basic gist of, you know, who you were talking about, but... Oh, wow. Oh,
but
I have to bring...
Showed...
What now?
Right, this is the... They should have showed them in the hospital. Because then they run into that one guy again. The...
Oh, yeah, the Gilderoy. Oh, he's so awesome! I love Lockhart. He's still loopy. Have you guys ever watched Chamber of Secrets all the way past the credits and seen a little secret scene?
No.
Yeah. Oh, just, okay, well, this is to everybody now. All the way, watch Chamber of Secrets all the way through the credits, and it's just like Pirates where there's a ending, you know, a secret little ending. It shows Gilderoy again at the very end. So, I mean, it's really short. It's like 10 seconds long, but it's pretty funny. And it's a Lockhart scene. And I guess that scene kind of is your own little version of the fifth book, in a way.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, that was also something I thought kind of went by fast, is that, you know, Mr. Weasley gets attacked, and then, you know, they're doing occlumency with Snape, and all of a sudden, it's holidays, and Mr. Weasley's already back for Christmas. So I was like, whoa, that went by pretty fast.
He's back, and he's, like, almost totally healed.
Yeah. Well, even then, I thought when he got attacked by the snake, I thought that was intense. I was like, geez, it kind of kept going and going. He's getting bloodier and bloodier. I was like, holy crap, is there even going to be a Mr. Weasley left? That's crazy.
Yeah. Although, you know what? I liked when Voldemort tried to get control of Harry.
Oh, yeah, the possession
yeah.
scene.
That
was
very
awesome.
Good.
Yeah, with the creepy eyes. Mm-hmm. Although Dumbledore's sitting there going, oh, you know, just sitting there watching him.
Dumbledore's saying, go, turn evil, turn evil.
Yeah, he's got his secret little foam finger ready.
And I have to admit, even though I already knew the outcome, I kind of wanted Harry to turn evil just to see what would happen.
Well, all of us would be like, what the?
Just to make a twist.
Yeah. Because then that would have been weird. I would have been like, okay, well, sixth movie's going to be a little bit different now.
This is going to be off.
I figure that you guys are probably giggling over that comment.
What?
Oh, I thought Bridget was, sorry, thought Bridget was laughing.
Out. Oh my goodness, lady.
Uh-oh. I have a feeling she's looking at more Alec Hopkins pictures.
By the way, I've seen Alec Hopkins pictures, and I found my Edward.
Well, see, now I'm going to have to do that after our show. I'll have to go look it up. And
anybody wants to see him? You can go to Google, go to Images, and just type in Alec Hopkins, and he will pop up, and anybody who loves Twilight, you will see him.
That should be very fun. Well, good. I'll have to go and check that out. Gosh, I have a bubble in my throat.
Bubble?
That's lovely. Made me talk funny there for a second.
Cool.
So... I guess we can go ahead and take the time to unveil our seventh book, what we plan to do for that.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. We're going to the Borders at Superstition Springs, and I have no idea, you know, what time exactly we're planning to get there. Because I don't know. I've heard things like there's two girls up in Alaska that are already camping out for the book.
What?
I mean, I don't know. See, if we're heading to Borders, I don't know if that's what we should be expecting. Like, people who've been camping out for days, you know?
I don't really care what
part of the line I'm in. But.
Not in Arizona. There's so many places that I don't think... I mean, there's going to be a line. Expect a line that's probably going to go out into the mall. But I don't know. You know, probably if you guys get there at the time you want to get there, I think you guys will be good.
Well, yeah, because I think we're planning to do a live show there and just record some of the people, like, you know, maybe what they think is going to happen, or maybe record the debates that are going to be going on. I think that'll be fun. Because they're doing a huge Snape debate. And I don't know if I want to get into it or not, because I could make a total fool of myself. And fight for good Snape, and then he turns out to be the more evil than Voldemort, and I'd be in trouble.
I think Snape is evil. I'm not going to start the debate, though.
I think Snape is good. Snape is good, Pin.
That's because you're evil.
See, somebody, I heard this on another podcast that said there was a sign in the fifth movie that Snape was working with the Order, and I don't know if this is even strong enough to determine that, but you know when Umbridge is getting ready to do the Cruciatus on Harry, and this is from the movie, and Snape comes in, and she's like, I need more Veritas Serum, and he's like, well, I don't have any more. He used all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry gets out and screams, you know, they have Padfoot in the place where it's hidden. And Snape kind of sits there and it kind of registers with him.
Snape is working with the Order.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's on the good side, like, completely. Like, he is good.
You know what, actually, I think I might change my mind. Because I was thinking, no, listen, this is why. I'm going to kind of go off of the fifth book a little bit here, and I'm going to kind of move into the sixth one, just because, you know, by next Saturday, the sixth one will be forgotten, and it will be all about the seventh. So you got to give that one a little bit of love. Everybody knows Dumbledore is all-knowing, right? He knows what's going to happen before it happens. So, of course, I have a feeling when Severus did the Unbreakable Bond. Do you guys remember that in the very beginning of the sixth book?
Yeah, the Unbreakable Vow he did.
Mm-hmm. He told Dumbledore. And I think Dumbledore expected you know what to happen. I don't want to give it away unless, you know, in case maybe somebody hasn't read the book. But
yeah.
I think...
But then again, we do have a huge... Because we were featured on the front site today. And so they already had a huge spoiler alert for us. So... I guess if you want to, we'll just say, hey, it's going to be a spoiler. So anybody who doesn't want to be spoiled by the sixth book, the ending, don't listen to what Katrina's going to say.
Oh, they said we were going to spoil the sixth book?
Yeah. No, we were going to spoil the fifth movie, but we can spoil everything else while we're at it.
Oh, okay, so I'm going to say it.
Okay.
He dies.
Katrina! He dies. The end. No emotion.
I don't like him. I just picture the movie. I'm sorry, everybody, but I picture the movie, and I don't like Dumbledore in the movie, so he dies. Yeah.
Thank goodness.
In the book, I was very upset, but in the movie, not so much. Won't happen.
Yeah.
But I think Dumbledore knew. Just the way, in the sixth book, the way he acted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I almost think... And this is just me talking, my imagination's rolling. You know, he did the Unbreakable Vow with Malfoy's mom.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did an Unbreakable Vow with someone else for Harry.
So you think he did one with? Do you think he did one with Dumbledore?
Lily.
Like way before?
I think he did it with Lily.
He did it with Lily?
Yes, because remember how she was so nice to him? If anybody, you know, if everybody remembers reading the fifth book, when he's getting picked on and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She was always nice to him. He liked Lily, you know. So I think I thought he even knew when they went into hiding, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think she made him have taken Unbreakable down. That's why he has had so many chances to kill Harry.
Just with potions alone.
Not even potions. He could kill Harry without anybody figuring out it was him that killed him because of all the circumstances and stuff that Harry's gone into.
Mm-hmm. See, but here's my question now. Why would Lily make an unbreakable vow with Snape?
Because Lily knew that Snape was with Voldemort. Just had a. I think there's more to his mom than meets the eye.
Oh yeah, well even J.K. Rowling said that we were going to find out something very very important about his mom, and I think it's more. I don't know if it's going to be that. I think it's more we're going to find out actually what she did, like what her job was. So I think she was some kind of, what are they called? The people that can't speak, an unspeakable? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, the secret keepers.
Well, I don't think she was a secret keeper. I just know, I think there's something's called an unspeakable. I don't think that's the same thing as a secret keeper, but since they're both called two different things, but I don't know. See, I mean, I think that's a cool idea, but I don't think that, so Snape is a bad guy, and so Lily makes an unbreakable vow with him, but he's a bad guy?
I think he's pretty good. Just misunderstood, because he's trying to...
Well, I mean, if he's a Death Eater working for Voldemort, why would you go make an unbreakable vow with him?
He hid from Voldemort, didn't he? Hide? Oh, no, after Voldemort died, he did. Something. He had to have done something, because think of how many chances he's had to kill Harry, and he hasn't taken them.
Sure, well, see,
yeah,
that's where the making the unbreakable, he can make an unbreakable vow with Dumbledore, and it could be, you know, that... It's an unbreakable vow, like, I won't go back to Voldemort, I'll be on your side, and I'll protect the boy who lived.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could have been, I mean, it didn't have to be Lily, it could be Dumbledore, and that way, you know, and it would be more like, I will do, not, you know, do everything, but I will do what you say, Dumbledore, and that even means, when the time comes, I will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that I've heard that point before, so, and I've also heard the Snape-Lily point, too.
Well, what I'm thinking is James saved him from Lupin.
Yeah, so Snape owes Harry a life debt.
Yes, but then I'm thinking about Wormtail owes Harry a life debt because he saved Wormtail.
Mm-hmm.
Wormtail is a coward.
Yes,
yeah.
But still remember that when he saved him, I'm just thinking that means he owes him something.
Yeah, he owes him a life debt,
to
too.
Later.
Maybe.
See, I've heard that somehow, I don't even know if Pettigrew would even know this, but somebody has said that Peter Pettigrew is going to help Harry or show him how to make a Horcrux or tell him how a Horcrux is made. That way Harry will know how to destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I've heard. I don't know if, I mean, I don't think Voldemort would ever disclose that kind of information and tell Peter how to make a Horcrux.
I don't think so either, but...
I don't think he trusts him enough.
That doesn't mean that Wormtail wasn't eavesdropping, like he always does.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true, but I don't know, because I was just about to say, you know, Voldemort would know, but then again, if Snape is double-crossing Voldemort doesn't know that either, so...
Well, it's like Voldemort's all-knowing, but yet Voldemort didn't know that Draco's mom went and seen Snape.
And he also doesn't know that two of his Horcruxes are already gone.
Yeah, he's not as all-knowing as he thinks.
He's cocky, and he's powerful. I'm not leaving that out, but he's also very
He's cocky. Very, very powerful. But he's not... I don't think he's as strong as he was before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. The life debt thing, I'm going to see how that plays out. That'll be kind of weird. I don't like Peter, so I hope he gets the axe in, like, the first chapter.
Me too. I don't like him either. I don't want him to die.
I don't think he's going
to
be a license just because of how much of a spineless coward
he is. He's a coward, and he doesn't even show any bit of being, you know. I think Snape's going to kill him.
Hopefully.
I would like Snape to. That would be very
because
nice.
He's going to have to do something with him because Wormtail's going to find out about Draco.
Well, I can't even picture Peter, like, you know, how in the Ministry of Magic where they're all fighting. I cannot even imagine Peter in there trying to fight as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't seem to me like he would be the one to face up, you know, and actually fight somebody one-on-one. He just doesn't seem like that to me.
Okay, now remind me, because I don't totally remember. The new Minister of Magic, did he turn out to be bad in the sixth book?
That
not
would be,
bad.
Oh, what's his name? Now, I wanted to say Slughorn, but it's not Slughorn. It's Rufus Scrimgeour. Scrimgeour.
Yeah.
I don't think he, I know he's a vampire.
He has bad intentions. He doesn't have the best intentions.
Yeah, but nothing happened with him, right?
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling something, because I'm starting to reread the sixth book again,
uh-huh.
Just so that way I can, you know, just make sure I'm all caught up in everything, because I went through that book so fast that I need to reread it again. And I think he's bad news. Like, even when I was reading in the sixth book, and I'm, like, you know, still kind of where he's meeting everybody and blah, 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 he
mm-hmm.
just gives me bad feeling. He's bad news.
Now, I forgot, did they say why he got put into the ministry, or he became minister? Did they tell how he did, or why?
They didn't actually say. He must have, like, went against Fudge.
Mm-hmm.
Because all it says is the people did not like Fudge, what Fudge had done and how Fudge had reacted to all of it. So they kicked him out and just put a new guy in.
So they didn't even bother with it, they just put him in there?
No, they didn't even have a campaign, they just stuck him in there.
Oh, that's great. That could be like one of Voldemort's secret Death Eaters or something.
Mm-hmm.
See, even then, we haven't heard anything about vampires either, so...
Yeah.
You would figure, though, that they would be on Voldemort's side, but we don't know what kind of vampires J.K. Rowling, you know, has made up, so...
Even if she puts them in. She might not put them in because they're so common.
Yeah, that's true.
But...
Although, you know, since he's head of the ministry, they're going to have to be doing...
They gotta have
some kind of role in it. That'll be interesting.
There's, like, a lot of magical creatures they've kept out.
Yeah.
So far. They're putting more and more in as it goes on, but she's putting a lot more animal, you know, like mythical animals in there than
Sphinx.
I have a feeling there's going to be a full-out war. Like,
oh, yeah, it's going to be like Narnia, where, like, it's everything, every kind of creature you can imagine.
Yeah. I think it's going to rain into the Muggle world, though. It's going to be, like, big.
Yeah, I'd like to know how that, because a lot of people think that the battle is going to be happening behind the veil so that nobody does know it's going on, but that would be kind of,
I have a feeling
that would be like a kill, that would be kind of kill the story for me, because I want it to be a big ol', you know.
I want it to be known. I want it to be known to the humans.
Yeah, they know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that would also be, you know, then everybody would know about the wizards, and that would be kind of interesting.
Well, not fully bringing out the wizarding world, just like
Harry and Voldemort fighting out in public. That would be cool. Oh my god, that would be awesome.
Just like in the middle of the street, like a Neo versus Agent Smith.
Exactly. That's like exactly what I was thinking.
And seeing all those different, that would be great. That's awesome. So, wow, see, Katrina, I have never heard any of your thoughts of the seventh book. So, now that you're bringing all these up, I'm like, ooh, this is fun to talk about.
Yeah, my imagination gets going pretty good.
Yeah.
So, gosh, what else do you think about the seventh one? Because I liked your Snape Lily Unbreakable Vow thing. That's something I haven't heard very much.
I'm not sure.
What do you think is going to happen? Do you think Harry's going to go back to school?
Nope. Harry's dropping out.
High school dropout.
What do you think about the wedding? The Slur and Ron's brother?
See, do you think that's going to be, like, really a happy wedding? I think Voldemort's going to crash.
I think something's going to happen. Fleur, I have a feeling Fleur's going to die.
I have a feeling that both of them are going to die. Her and, is it Bill she's marrying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're both going to die, because that's going to be, like, it. Voldemort's going to crash the wedding, kill the bride and groom.
I almost have a feeling Ron is going to die in the seventh book. I just have this feeling, and it's going to suck, because he's my favorite character.
Yeah, go up to the podcast, people say, I think one of them's going to die. And they just, like, pretty dumb. Nope, that's not. Nope.
Oh, they can tell me no, but they'll have to argue with me for hours. Smuggy, that's my school stuff. I have a feeling, and Bridget just popped all these ideas in my head. I have a feeling something's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be Voldemort personally that shows up.
But it's going to be like a Death Eater
wedding,
show up party.
And I almost think that Ron might be killed by Draco.
Oh.
Really?
I think Draco's going to be running from Voldemort because he didn't kill him. He was supposed
to. I don't think we're going to see much of Draco, although I think Draco's going to be going wherever Snape's going.
Ron is going to want to go and run and get the revenge, and Harry's going to try and stop him. Harry's going to see Ron die before his eyes. That's my call.
I hope Harry dies.
Ooh, deep.
And Voldemort. They're both killing each other.
double death. That's probably what she'll end up doing. But I have a feeling. I have a feeling Ron is going to die because his Voldemort's going to kill his brother at the wedding in front of him.
Oh, yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
he's going to want, you know, like a thirst for revenge, and you know how Ron is. He's going to try and go after.
I think Ron's
Voldemort.
I think Ron's going to prove himself to be more powerful than we see him as.
Oh no, I think Ron's going to die. I love Ron, but I have a feeling he's going to die.
Zena, do you think it's just Bill that's going to get the axe, or do you think like the Weasley parents are going to get axed, or the twins are going to get killed?
The twins are supposed to die. Like, there's probably supposed to be a battle, and they're supposed to die in it. I bet you Sirius is his cousin, isn't it? I have a feeling she might be the one to kill him. I think Neville.
Bellatrix.
Yeah, I think Neville will kill her.
See, I think that's already being preordained. I think that Neville's going to have his chance.
You know, honestly,
Katrina, you have no love for the Weasleys, do you? You're like, they're all going
to
die.
They're my favorite too. I love them. That's why they need to die.
You love them. Does that mean you want me to die?
I love you.
Ouch.
I know, but Bridget, then pretty soon she's going to be like, they're all going to die. I love them, but they're all going to die.
Actually, wait, now I lost my train of thought. You know, okay, now I remembered. Okay, so I'm not sure how they'll pull this off in the movie, but in the book, you know who I really think is going to be a real fight that's going to have more power than anybody ever expected?
Ooh.
Neville Longbottom.
Oh, heck yeah.
Well, I kind of expect it just because of how his parents were.
Well, just because...
If he's dedicated, he's proved himself to be more powerful.
I just think... I don't know. I think there's more to him because she always brings him up. He must be one of her characters she really likes.
Oh, yeah, big time. Well, that, you know, this sounds really kind of far-fetched, but, you know, every time Neville went to go see his parents at St. Mungo's and his mom would give him, like, a little, was it a gum wrapper that she would give him?
I think they're trying to tell him, like...
That's what I think. It's some kind of, like, secret little code or something, you know, that he's supposed to figure out. Or has figured out, and it's just, like, secret.
Yeah, something. I don't know. There's going to be something involving him. Maybe he'll die. I just hope there's some deaths going on in this mess, but...
Then you're ripping off on her. She just wants war.
But that's what... I have been waiting 6 books for this, and I got barely a taste of it at the end of the 6th one. And I'm like, okay, let's start killing some people. Where's this war everybody's been talking
right.
about?
It's like going flat.
One is supposed to be... Well, that's because she, you know, you're at Hogwarts, blah, 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 blah. And so, and she might be like other readers who, when it's not interesting, you know, even think about, your writing's going to be bland. But if it's a really intense part, your writing's going to speed up.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think this last one's going to be really good.
I think so, too.
Just because it's her last one.
Yeah, and she's going to put her heart and soul in it, so it's going to be a page-turner.
You know, I almost wonder if she's going to write other books.
Like,
I mean, she doesn't have to. She has enough money now that she could live comfortably, and her children could live comfortably when she passes on.
Yeah.
But I wonder if she'll make books. I'll be curious to see.
She just continues being.
She doesn't say anything that she about her continuing writing. I mean, at least with like Stephanie Meyer, she talks about, you know, she's making other books and stuff. And I think that's actually with you talking about the being bland. I think that's why. You know, I mean, you'll get bored writing, you know, doing the same thing over and over and over again. Everybody
does.
Yeah,
for the last 13, 15 years she's been.
Yeah. You know, so I think if she would have done something else, it would have Harry Potter. Not that it's not like really, really good, but
it would have helped like even it out a little bit.
Yeah,
and to switch it up.
I'm kind of nervous to see how long this book is going to be.
Well, I don't know. I heard it's smaller than Order of the Phoenix, but it's bigger than Half Blood Prince.
Really?
It's going to be the second longest one.
That's that one right there. It's not that big. I wonder if it's going to, because Goblet of Fire to me, isn't that like the biggest one?
No, Order of the Phoenix is the biggest.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's almost 1,000 pages.
Oh. That was such a good book. I never noticed it.
I don't know. I'm curious. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a... See, and that's what I think our next show... I don't know how long it's going to take all of us to read the book, but our next show is going to be everything about what happens in the seventh one. So it's going to be a giant spoiler show. But I just can't wait. Wow, see? That's fun and exciting. Katrina has some very interesting little things to say about
you. Wait till I read the book.
I just think it's funny because you are like the only person I know in this planet that thinks that Weasleys are going to die.
Oh, they're dying.
Oh, see, because everybody, even people online,
you're
that
probably,
even know that well.
There's
like,
some complaints going on now, but they're
well,
dying.
I've always thought that.
But see, but that's I like that though because I have not heard it yet, and so I like to hear what other people who think that Weasleys are going to die. Because everybody's like, no, the trio's going to live. All the Weasleys are going to live just because, you know, like they don't present why they think that. They're just going, oh, just because. And I'm like, if this is going to be the kind of battle I think it is, nobody is safe. Nobody's safe. Everybody's going down.
I'm sorry. I mean, I know it'll end up really bad, and nobody wants it to happen. One of those trios needs to die.
Mm-hmm.
To me, period. One of them needs to die. You cannot have, and I'm sorry, she's making Harry Potter a tragic story. Tragedy ends with death.
Yeah.
So one of them needs to die.
I hope it's not like a happy... Oh, good fairy tale ending.
And if she is going to continue writing like how she is writing, it won't be. But if she pulls her, I just want to get this done. I have a timeline. I need to finish it. It
mm-hmm.
won't be.
She'll do what I do. I die.
No, she'll make it a happy ending. That way, Bridget, were you the one telling me that they're doing a like a little prenup thing on what their lives are like after?
Mm-hmm.
Voldemort,
yeah.
Which means Voldemort's already dead. So if she wanted to make it really easy, then
yeah.
She'd have them all live, and they all lived happily ever after. Harry became, what are they called? The
Auroras,
yeah. You know, Hermione becomes a teacher. Ron just needs to die. I don't have an occupation for him.
I think he'll become
a seer. Yeah, I'd rather have Harry die, but...
We know that.
I love Ron. He's my favorite, but he needs to die.
Gosh dang. Let's
he would play.
He doesn't have any other book favorites.
I'm thinking of the movie, okay? This is for the movie. He is a very good actor. I mean, he would play that part awesomely.
Mm-hmm.
Think of him dying. I mean, that sounds really morbid.
Think of him dying. It should give you happy thoughts. See, but then again, I want to see the trio. Like, I want to see all of them and see how they act out a death scene.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll all die together. No, that would be way too off the book. That'd be
yeah, awesome. All of a sudden they just get a killer. They get an Avada Kedavra, all three of them die. And it's like, the end.
Voldemort spins in a circle.
Yeah. He does a roundhouse kick and... AK comes out and, yep, he does a total Chuck Norris move.
Oh, Elaine, that song. I kick Harry into Harry in the face. Draco Malfoy.
Oh, heck yeah.
26 times. Harry, how do you like to say
yeah, no.
It's a song we were listening to in the car.
See, I don't know, because, see, nobody's really said that Hermione's going to die.
I don't think she's going to.
No,
I just have that feeling.
I want her to.
I just have... I'm just telling you what, you guys. It's going to be Ron. I bet you a quarter.
I bet you it probably won't. It'll probably be Ron and Hermione getting married.
Okay, if Ron doesn't die, I will sing on this podcast show the Toil and Trouble song.
Who gets to croak? Or are you going to croak and sing at the same time?
I'll do both.
Sweet. All right,
Ron's
we have
dying,
the right.
Though.
This is getting written down, so we're going to have you pay up if that happens.
I hope he dies too because I don't want to hear
him. I'm singing. Ron dies.
Okay.
Alrighty, this is who you heard it here first. Katrina will sing the Double Trouble song from the third movie. If Ron doesn't die, is that what it is?
If Ron dies, well,
if he
doesn't die, if he doesn't die, I will sing it. If Ron dies, I will laugh at all of them.
And point your finger.
I just did that right now.
Wow. What do you think, Bridget?
Well, I'm starting to think about it. I was hoping one of them died. Now I'm thinking it's probably going to be a happy ending, so none of them is going to die. Harry will probably marry Ginny, and then Ron will probably marry Hermione.
To me, Harry will never marry Ginny. She's way too young for him. I just know this.
And then...
Well, isn't she only a year younger than he is?
She's only a year.
I don't know. They just don't make a cute couple. I don't like it.
So you didn't feel any sorrow in the fifth movie when the girl that plays Ginny looks back at Harry as he's going to take the Mac on Cho?
No. I was like, there, open your eyes, sweetheart. He doesn't like you.
Oh, man. Katrina is hating.
It's brutally honest, but, I think I do have something against the Weasleys.
You have to, because you are like, die, Weasley, die.
I'm like, Weasleys are dying.
I think
James
is going to die, not the other.
Oh, I think both of them are going to die. I think one's going to die, and then the other one's going to be like,
Yeah, I saw you, Katrina.
And then they'll zap him, and he will die.
That is so sad.
I can picture this whole fight scene in my head. I should write a book.
Wow. Yeah. the Harry Potter series according to Katrina.
What really happened in the ending?
My ending, the one that should have happened, or is going to happen, no questions asked.
I say, I have this idea, and I think we should do it for one of the podcastings. After we read the book and we find out the real ending, we might have to wait a while, but that way everybody else can read the book. If they're listening, they're not going to be like all, that was the ending. Or we could do the ending out. What we wanted our endings to be, and we can state how they were different.
See, that's going to be fun, because then we're going to know, what characters were actually doing what. That would be fun.
And then we could be like, this is what I thought, and I was really off. But I won't need to say that, because I'll be like, yeah, I was on.
No, it's going to be a scene. You'll be singing.
And just to let everybody know and give you all a heads up, that's going to be a PG-13, very strong rating on that show, and I'm leaving it at that.
Just telling you guys, Katrina will be very graphic.
Yes, we're all going to be very graphic, I'm sure.
But everybody doesn't need to worry, because my predictions will already be right.
So if you want to know what Katrina thinks of them, just go read Deathly Hallows.
I don't even need to get the book. Oh, that's...
You keep missing, Katrina.
Yeah, I found on the news website today, somebody took a picture of the Harry Potter books coming into their store.
Oh.
And I'm like, ooh. I have to work the night the Harry Potter books come in.
They're already coming in the stores right now?
They're already being sent in. I thought they weren't supposed to come in until actually Thursday night, only the night before were they coming in. But apparently they're already getting shipped.
Now, these books get released at the same time, right? All over the world?
Yeah.
Or are they in Illinois, they're going to be released, the 18th or...
No, they're all getting released on the same day.
I didn't say August.
And nobody go to Target. If you reserved it at Target, I pity you, because Target is not open at midnight. They don't open until 8 o'clock, and that is when Harry Potter books are coming out. So I feel bad for whoever was going to Target for the Harry Potter.
My advice to everybody, because I... Smokey, leave that alone. Because I am bad. I didn't pre-order my book at Borders.
Yeah, so but did you hear that Borders extended... This made me so mad. Borders extended the time that you could pre-order.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. We just went in there to go pre-order it for her, and then they told us that they weren't, and then they went ahead and extended it. But now it's already over again.
Oh, okay.
A load of crock.
I'm going to Costco.
Costco.
If anybody knows what that is, it's a store. You have to have a special card.
Are they going to be open?
Yeah. That's where I got my last book too, was at Costco.
Really?
Because this store, you have to be a member to actually get into this store.
Uh-huh.
That there's not many people. So
I'll just steal my parents' Costco card. Because it's Costco. Are they doing, like, a little party over there and stuff?
Oh, you know, speaking of parties, when is that ball thing you were talking about?
That's going to be the release of the book that night.
Oh, what time am I going to be on?
Friday?
I thought the release of the book was on Saturday.
Well, we're going Friday night, right, Lane?
Friday night is the release of the book.
So the party's going to be Friday night, or the ball's going to be Saturday night?
No, the it's going to be Friday night.
Oh, okay.
See, that's what I'm hoping to be able to do is kind of like, I don't know when other parties are starting. I heard rumors that there's other parties starting at like 10. So I'm like, we can go hit those. You know, then I hit ours at the very end. Like, that'll be the last party that we go to. But if Costco's doing an earlier party, I'll just steal my parents' Costco card and go.
Yes, we'll have nice little road trips around the parties.
Heck yeah.
I know Walmart did something last year, or a year before last. For the last book, they had cake and like little Harry Potter things everywhere.
See, that's cute. That would be fun to go. That would be really fun. Maybe we'll have to hit that. I'll do some research this week and we'll find out.
Okay.
What Harry Potter parties are going on. It'll be so much fun. I am way excited. And silence ensues once again. I take it somebody's distracted. Or maybe two people are distracted.
Always.
we have to do this now, since I just remembered. Happy birthday goes out to Bridget. She turned 18.
Happy birthday, Bridget!
Yeah.
I'm 18 now.
Bridget is now legal.
Yes,
she's now responsible for all of her actions. Mm-hmm. We will no longer be following her around with a wand cleaning up all her messes that she makes. No more reparos for Bridget. I'm sorry.
Aww.
It was funny. Earlier I was saying that you guys were having trouble in the flu network and apparating. Like, they must be having problems with that.
Yes, we got stuck in one spot and another.
Yeah, there was a backup at the one fireplace you guys were using for the flu network.
Yes.
Somebody accidentally had transported their arm and not the rest of their body.
That would be Bridget.
It caused quite a scare. I like Katrina. That was Bridget. Not even thinking. I'm like, yeah, that was her.
Always me.
Yeah,
Bridget,
true.
You're 18 now. You must be responsible for your actions.
Yeah, Bridget. Face up to it.
I am a very responsible person. Thank you.
But yeah, that's going to be fun. So it's kind of like after party for Bridget that the book's coming out.
Yeah.
No more to say on that? She's like, yep, okay.
Oh.
My cat?
No, he drove over and ran over here. He scared me, Smokey.
It's because he's magical.
Magical.
Are you guys getting stalked, cat, as I am?
What?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm sitting here talking to you guys, and behind me, I keep looking out of the corner of my eye, and my cat's watching me. Been watching me the entire night record the show, so.
It's because he misses me.
I swear my cat is an animagus. I swear.
Mine too.
Yeah.
I'm serious. My cat sleeps with me. Well, that sounds weird. Please, podcast.
She has an animal.
What the fuck?
She knows what I was going to say, so she beeped it out.
Yeah. Oh, so I guess we can go ahead and announce one of our big things that's going on with the show. We might, so far it hasn't been set in stone yet, but we are very close to having an actual sponsor for the show. Twilight Tees, that's word Twilight, and then TEEZ.com.
Wait.
Oh, she's going on there.
Oh.
My oldest sister is high school best friend, is part owner of the site, and they sell nothing but stuff dedicated to Stephanie Meyer's Twilight series.
Can you say the site again, but slower for our listeners?
Yeah, for our listeners.
The word Twilight, and then T-E-E-Z.
Oh.
Like peas. .com.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it's you buy shirts and stuff dedicated. I mean, you know, they just barely got started. They've only been up for about 6 months, I heard. So, I mean, everything is still, the wheels are still turning. But we wanted to have them sponsor us because we are all huge Twilight fans and wanted to help them. You know, they'll sponsor us, and then so we'll get the word out for them, and they'll get word out for us. So it'll be really fun. We really look forward to getting with them. But that's just a thing that's in the works right now. But it's really exciting for us because, yeah. And whoever wants to go, and they got some cute little ideas for shirts.
They have very cute ideas for shirts. I'm actually looking at them right now.
Yeah.
And they're pretty cheap, actually. They're not too expensive. So
what's the one
nice.
Say, the one that says she runs with vampires? What does it say on the front? I forgot.
I don't know, but they haven't. I have to find it. They have one on here now that says, only a vampire can love you forever.
Heck yeah. See, that's so clever. And they still have more that they're coming up with. So it's really cute. They have some really, you know, and anybody can go in there and make up suggestions of what.
I want to do
this
one.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that they make a Jacob Black one or like a werewolf one.
They do have one now.
Do they? Okay.
Yes, they do.
Cool.
They have eclipse ones.
Mhm.
And just like information on like Changing Hands bookstore, which if anybody wants to know, there is a book signing. You can meet Stephanie Mayer and get a book signing August 18th, if anybody remembers from her last show. I think the price is actually like, didn't it say like $30, Lane?
Yeah, because that includes the cost of your book. And, like, getting a ticket to the actual thing.
So we will figure out more and let you all know.
Yeah.
But I must say, they have some new Jacob Black. Bridget, you will be very excited. They have one with a werewolf on it. It says hot dog.
Okay, that is so cute. And it says official I Love Jacob Black fan club member.
Yep.
How adorable. I love it.
It's very cute. They don't have any Edwards, so.
Let me see. Where's the fan-made one? You going to the fan-made ones?
They have Alice. Oh, they got... I don't want the Bite Me t-shirt. Bite Me with an apple bitten. That's not...
Yeah, they also... They have an artist that they're signing with.
Oh, really?
That he's going to come up and start coming up with stuff for... It's going to be exciting. Like I said, I mean, they just barely... got started. So they don't have a whole, I mean, they have some, they have about 8 designs to choose from. But it's really exciting. So anybody who, you know, is a fan of the books or Stephanie Meyer, go. It's one of my friends that I grew up with. She was kind of a sister in a way, so I trust her.
And anybody who doesn't want to wear, I'm looking, you know, right now as we speak, like I said, if you do not want to wear a t-shirt that says, like, you know, the fan club or whatever, they actually have saying shirts, if you guys seen those. Did you see that, Lane?
Yeah.
They have ones that say, like, she's tougher than she looks, and she runs with vampires, you know. And they have a picture of a girl actually wearing one, and they're pretty good. They're normal t-shirts, you know. They're not, like, you know, like concert t-shirts or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, the one with the girl wearing it, that's the one I talk with. She's the one, she grew up with my sister. So that's Sharon. Everybody wave at the picture. And be like, hey, Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Yeah, we all say hi. But yeah, it's a really, like I said, and you can also send in, make suggestions. They have, you know, you can fan make your own shirts. So go on there and. See, they have a little link right there under information. You say submit a shirt idea. You go in there, and if you have any suggestions or something you think would be cool on a t-shirt for it, go ahead and send it on over. They're pretty good with getting back to you, too, with their feedback. I mean, I had sent them an email, and, like, not even 2 hours later, I had a reply.
Very cool.
I'm just excited they're getting it started. So that might be a sponsor for us. We're looking forward to that, so we might have little commercials going on
cool.
with that.
Mm-hmm.
But.
I want that one.
Yeah, everybody said they're looking. It's really cute.
Hey, I got another call coming in, so I gotta go.
Oh, okay.
Hi, guys.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm like looking at these T-shirts, like Jonesing.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad that because I must have skipped right over that Jacob Black one. I didn't even see it. I'm excited they have one now. That's good.
I think it's brand new because the one I want, the one that says only a vampire can love you forever,
mm-hmm.
it does not have that shirt for sale yet. I can't find it. So these new ones must be coming up.
Yeah.
So
that's cool. I'm excited. Are you sure they won't let you buy one now?
I can find it. So
I'm looking at it right now. It says you can add it to a cart. You can buy it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It just says that extra large is out of stock.
Yeah, I don't need that thing. But only with me will we always change the subject from Harry Potter to Twilight.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, guys.
But, yeah, well, I mean, we're trying to plug the crap out of this site for them because, you know, that's really gracious of an actual company to just kind of adopt a show. So.
Yeah, and if people, because I know how I'm, like, kind of nervous to buy stuff online
mm-hmm.
just because, you know, hackers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
These people run through, by the looks of it, they're working with Amazon.com.
Yep. And
so
they actually have a contract with Stephenie Meyer. So it's not like, you know, they're making this stuff illegally. They have a contract with her, you know, so.
Yeah, so they have actual things to do. And just make sure that, you know, they have the lock on their screen when you're ready to, you know, buy your stuff. So they're the real thing. They're not trying to scam you, so. You should go on there and help us out and get some shirts.
Yeah. Maybe, well, like I said, we have to work stuff out, but maybe you'll get a discount if you heard about it through the podcast or something. Work something out where we can get you guys. That'll be fun. Maybe we'll even model some shirts off for them. It'll be fun. But, yeah. Well, even with that, I think we're kind of concluding our little Harry Potter show.
Yeah, so we ended with what we wanted to.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty productive. We actually stayed on topic, and there were no long pauses this time.
I mean, there were a couple, but they weren't that long.
Oh, yeah. Well, our Twilight show had, like, a two-minute long pause. We were just, like, sitting there.
You got to stop and think about it for a second. That's our problem with Twilight is you think about your characters, and you're like,
Well, I'm glad you found your own Edward. That's nice.
So, well, thank you for putting me on, Lean.
Yeah, no problem. See, you're like our host now. So,
yay.
Yes, we're having a hard time getting Jennifer back on there. So we're pretty much counting you as a host now. You're part of the ETH team. Yeah.
I will see you hopefully with the Harry Potter signings, and hopefully we'll see some of everybody else there too from the podcast.
Yeah, we look forward to that. So, alrighty. Well, Katrina, you all have a good night.
You too.
Yeah, I will. And to all the listeners out there, have a great weekend. Get Harry Potter on Friday night.
Yes.
Alrighty. Yes.
All right.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.